Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, the president's going to be making some announcement soon from the White House. It was scheduled, I think, did they say 2 o'clock? Was it 2 o'clock Eastern? I think it was. We'll be watching that, and we'll bring it to you when it happens. Never know what he's going to talk about or highlight, but we will have it for you when that does occur. We're going to speak with Hogan Gidley in about 25 minutes from right now at the bottom of the hour at 1:30 and get his thoughts on the government shutdown specifically and the political handling of this administration so far. There have been some wild stories in 9 months, and with the government being shut down, I think it's day 16, how does Hogan Gidley feel about the direction this administration is going? With the government shutdown, are you finding people in your life? I mean, I know we've talked about people we know that are furloughed right now. Let's take those people and respect them and understand that they're dealing with this in a way that's different than us. But in your experience, have you experienced any government shutdown issues?
No.
None?
I haven't. Again, people related to me, people in my life, some of them work for the government. They have contracts and stuff. Yes. Some of them trying to go on vacation to places that they couldn't with parks and stuff. But me, I have not noticed a single thing.
I haven't either. There have been a couple of things that I've like suspected. Oh, I wonder if that has to do something with the government shutdown. But it's always like two or three people removed. If I'm hearing stories like, oh, that
yeah.
might be.
And the only thing that I'm like concerned about personally, and that makes me sound very non-compassionate, as if I'm not thinking about anybody but myself. But if I'm just narrowing it down to me, the only thing I'm concerned about is taking a flight in November. If the government's still shut down, I've heard that TSA has had a lot of people calling off all the time and things are slower than they usually are. Although that seemed to be earlier. I haven't heard that as much in the last week. So I don't know if that's been resolved or if just...
I've seen a lot of reports of people saying that they haven't had any troubles. But people are mindful of it. And I would guess that maybe these things are compounding a little bit. So how it feels 16 days in is going to be different than 30 days in. I'm taking a flight in November as well. So I really hope that that doesn't become the case, you know, for me specifically. But you do hope that the skies are still safe and the process still moves smoothly and quickly. As far as the political fallout of a shutdown, do you think that Republicans, I mean, it feels from my side that the Republicans are winning it. I'm on the Republican side. I think that the Republicans have taken a very smart path through this, which is to say we're not going to do any negotiation. We're not going to do any asking. We're in the majority and we have the ability to do that. We're not going to do any asking in the CR process. We're going to take what we've already passed and we're going to do it again for 90 days or what, 60 days or whatever it might have been. That's what they refer to as the clean continuing resolution, which means the continuing resolution says if it's a clean continuing resolution, that what we have been doing to fund the government, we will continue to do exactly that until we get to the part where we have to pass the actual appropriations bills that would fund the government for another year. And the Democrats have said, no, we're not doing that. And I talked a little bit earlier in the show about how, you know, it's a simple majority in the House to pass to pass a CR like this. It's a simple majority in the Senate as well to pass a CR after you end the filibuster. So there's two votes that need to take place in order for the CR to pass the Senate. The first one is a 60 vote threshold to get to the place where they vote. They have to vote to vote. To end the filibuster is the first one, and that takes a majority of 60 votes. There are 53 Republicans in the Senate, 52 that are willing to vote for the CR. Rand Paul has not signed on to vote for it. So they have to figure out what to do with the rest. Three Democrats have joined the 52 Republicans. They need five more people, Rand Paul plus four Democrats or five Democrats or whatever, to come over to make it so the CR gets through. Do you feel as though it's complicated in who's politically winning this shutdown? Do you feel like it's like a clean sweep for Republicans?
No, I feel actually neither one of those things. I don't think this is moving the needle at all. I just don't think that if you are Republican, you're going to vote differently based on the government shutdown. If you're Democrat, you're going to vote differently. You know, you're really talking to that middle group only that could be swayed in something like this. And I don't see that group moving at all. I've actually been watching generic congressional voting, partially because of the shutdown, but partially just because I like watching polling. And of course, we're talking about midterms a lot and all the redistricting stuff we've been talking about even in this show. And it's just not moving. It's not moving at all. And this is the time when, you know, you're almost a year in past the election anyway, that you should be, like in 2018, for instance. At this point in 17, going into the midterms in 18, you had Democrats gaining constantly. So they started, you know, at about where you'd figure at like plus three in congressional vote. They gained and gained and gained till about right now they started to really show, oh, they're poised for a good midterm, which they had. And they were at about a plus seven. This year, it's done nothing, which is actually really good for Republicans. But you'd figure if somebody were winning, to your question, Annie, if somebody were winning the narrative battle in this government shutdown, you'd start to see that because Congress would show it. The polling about Congress would be like, ah, get rid of those Democrats or get rid of the Republicans. They're causing the government to be shut down. It's driving me crazy. And it's just not moving at all. It's just flat.
How much? So if you pick it apart, I think Mike Johnson's doing a great job.
I think
the thing that people haven't liked about Mike Johnson, maybe at the start, is that he's not flashy enough. It's my favorite thing about him.
In this administration, that's been great.
No need for it.
Yeah.
That department is covered in spades.
Right.
Spades is Trump. but I think about the other players who are involved. So if you got Donald Trump, I think Donald Trump is handling it well because Donald Trump flies 10% crazy. You don't know what he's going to do, but you do know that if he has a good idea and it's crazy enough, but he thinks it's going to work, he'll do it.
Oh, yeah, he'll do it.
So you don't want to embolden Donald Trump to go, what if we did blah, 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 blah. And they say, sir, well, that really hasn't been done that way before. And if his question is, why not? Is it illegal? And they're like, well, sir, no, we don't think it's illegal. We can make a constitutional case for it. Well, then let's try it. He's willing to do that. He's willing to lose in court, and it keeps going to court, and he keeps winning. The wielding the power of the government, how many times have we covered Democrats and Republicans over the years and been like, Republicans are so soft. When they get power, then they're like, let's compromise. No, you want to compromise when you're in the minority. That's the best you can do. Republicans have not won and acted like it in my lifetime that I've been covering politics, which is about 16 years. So Chuck Schumer, how's he doing?
Not well. I don't know that anybody really likes him, even in his own party.
So CNN had this town hall last night, and everybody does want to know what AOC and Bernie Sanders thinks, because you never hear from them. They're so hard to find what they think about anything.
They're ideologues who never speak.
Yeah, they're just there, serve. It's Caitlin Collins, right? I watch this. Collins is moderating this. And I think it's a fair question on Caitlin Collins' part. She wants to know if any of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's role in this is because she wants to primary Chuck Schumer. We've heard that a lot. It's certainly a talking point for the Republicans. It's certainly something that they would want, that they would benefit from, creating division, driving a wedge in between the AOC wing of the party and whatever wing. Like Schumer I don't know what his wing of the party is. To me, he's the Mitch McConnell, which just he understands the rules of the road so well, and he knows how to manipulate them for his own political benefit. The problem is that he doesn't have a majority now to do that with. Mitch McConnell, not really loved by his party.
That's a good comparison.
But Mitch McConnell is the reason why Garland. Merrick Garland is not on the Supreme Court right now. Think about talking about all these Supreme Court situations that we have bubbling up to the surface right now, and Merrick Garland is there. Look at how he was as an attorney general. What a disaster. So we're watching this shutdown thing happen, and Chuck Schumer, most people are saying, kind of from both sides of the aisle, that Chuck Schumer is acting the way Chuck Schumer is acting because he does not want to be to lose his seat to a primary to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
But are you saying that Senator Schumer should not be worried about a primary challenge from you?
No.
Let me jump in on this one.
This is what we're talking about.
That's exactly what we're talking
about. This is what we're
talking about. You have a country that is falling apart. We had a housing crisis, a healthcare crisis, an education crisis, massive income and wealth inequality, a corrupt campaign finance system, and the media says, oh, are you going to run? What are you going to run for? Nobody cares. So run more
talk to
nobody
cares.
It's the House Speaker and President Trump and the Vice President saying it.
Right.
Pardon?
Well, of course, they're saying it to deflect attention away from the real issues.
Exactly.
And here, let me tell you what the real issue is. Let's see if CNN talks about it. We're living in the richest country in the history of the world, right? All right, you tell me why we're the only nation not to guarantee health care to all people, the only nation not to guarantee paid family and medical leave, why we have a $7.25 an hour minimum wage, why we have 800,000 people sleeping out on the street, why we have a president who denies the reality of climate change.
I'll tell you why, Senator Sanders. First of all, because we're not socialists. Second of all, because people like you and your overbloated Democrat, far-left, progressive version of government tried to take the government, make it so big that it could solve every problem, but it didn't really want to solve the problem because they sell the problem in order to gain more power. Instead of empowering the people in a capitalistic society like America actually is, the economy that makes it so great, and empowering faith-based organizations to meet the needs of the people, community organizations to meet the needs of people, you think the answer to every problem is more government. And now our government is so big we can't even afford it. And your solution is more government? That's why we don't have those things. And also, why can't Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez answer the question about whether or not she's going to primary Chuck Schumer? And why does Bernie Sanders answer it for? What a pig.
Yeah, Caitlin Collins should have been like, whoa, dude.
Did you just mansplain? Did you just step in front of an empowered woman to explain what her future was?
Should have licked her pen and been like, okay.
Noted.
Because that was a weird response to that question. That is a very, very basic political question with the person in the room.
I don't think we got an answer to the question about the primary.
We still did not.
She goes, I. It's
this, like, is what we're talking about.
If I'm at volleyball practice with my middle school girls and I'm like, do you like Johnny? And they're like, oh, I got to go get my homework.
And Johnny,
yeah, you like Johnny.
Yeah. Johnny licks his pen and goes, whoa.
All right, YouTube live chat poll. Do you believe minorities should have special consideration when drawing congressional districts? Yes or no? Now in my mind, I'm trying to think if there's a Johnny in middle school.
Johnny's having a good day.
Did I just?
All the girls like me?
I don't know. I could have. Names these days are not like Johnny.
Mm-mm. Caden. And Brovin.
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 Go to break. Oh, man. Let us know what you think. We'll answer this question when we come back. Do you believe minorities should have special consideration when drawing congressional districts? Yes or no? The vote is on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. So pull up our live broadcast on YouTube right now. In the live chat portion of the live broadcast, you can vote. You can always listen to us on the Odyssey app as well. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So that poll we're talking about is that Louisiana Supreme Court case that's being heard right now regarding the districting of these congressional districts. The Fox News report, the headline is Supreme Court signals it may limit key Voting Rights Act rule. At issue was whether the state's congressional map, updated twice since the 2020 census, is an illegal racial gerrymander. When we spoke at 12:18 with Greg Jarrett, he said that this was considered racial consideration, was the phrase that he used. The Fox News report says the Supreme Court's conservative majority on Wednesday appeared poised to significantly weaken a key Voting Rights Act provision that prohibits states from diluting the power of minority voters, a pivotal case that could reshape elections and redistricting battles in Republican-led states ahead of the midterms. The case in Louisiana was first argued in March and centers on whether Louisiana's 2024 congressional map, which added a second majority black district, amounts to an unconstitutional racial gerrymander. Its outcome could determine how states nationwide apply the Voting Rights Act in future redistricting cycles. So it's not just Louisiana this would affect. This could affect the nation as a whole. Fox News goes on to report justices ordered both sides to return to court for a second hearing to revisit arguments in the case centered on Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, and asked them to submit briefs on whether Louisiana's creation of a second majority black congressional district under the VRA, the Voting Rights Act, violates the 14th or 15th Amendments to the Constitution. So we're asking you, do you believe minorities should have special consideration when drawing congressional districts, yes or no? Brian.
I am an absolute no to this. This would be the definition of racism, is to favor certain racial groups over others. And I thought Kavanaugh, from reading the transcripts yesterday of the Supreme Court hearing, said nobody's really paying attention to this question that he asked. He said, now this was written in 1965. Does that mean that the racial makeup of today and the racial, politics and socioeconomics and whatever of today are the same as they were in 1965? The answer is, of course they're not. They're always changing. Okay, then why are we applying a law that was written specifically to that moment right now? And that, to me, was a great argument that if you're not talking about principle, because that this specific language in this thing is not necessarily about a broad principle that we should apply always. Like, the Constitution is written in a way that it would always be the same, you know, depending on technology and everything. It would always have the same, like, general rules and laws. This one was written specific to this thing in a moment. And they're all questioning, well, why would that still apply now if it was written even in its language for that moment? So anyway, that's a long answer to say that, no, I don't believe that minorities should have special consideration when drawing congressional districts.
Eyes Wide Open says on our YouTube comment chat, they say, poll, according to the poll, race, color, or creed may affect one's political ideals. However, it should not be considered when drawing lines for representation. Those lines should be based solely on the political alignment. Fox News goes on to report Justice Brett Kavanaugh and other conservative justices appeared open to the idea that Congress, in passing the 1965 law, may have intended a sort of sunset period for Section 2, allowing it to weaken over time. That possibility was invoked by Kavanaugh several times during Wednesday's argument as he pressured lawyers for the state of Louisiana and the NAACP for more specifics. That's what you're speaking to?
That's exactly it.
Yeah. The Fox News goes on to say the court's ruling could carry major implications for future elections, with critics warning that siding with the state could further erode protections for minority voters under the Voting Rights Act. Brad, your thoughts on this? Do you believe minorities should have special considerations when drawing congressional districts?
Not really. No, at all. No, there should be no consideration. Because when I'm sitting here thinking about this, as Ryan's saying his things, we listen to Greg Jarrett, and it's really, what does race have to do with the way that you vote? It shouldn't have anything to do with it. And therefore, like, if you're saying that black people will be disenfranchised by the way that lines are redrawn, you're assuming that they're going to vote one way. And that's racist. You know who won't be disenfranchised by a Republican district coming to what used to be a historically Democratic district? Black Republicans. They won't be disenfranchised by that. I just think that this we're taking a racial argument and applying it to a political thing, and race should have nothing to do with the political alignment of the country.
I don't think a black person's vote should be more or less valuable than a white person's. It should be equal. That's kind of the point. And a Latino vote should be equal to a black person and a white person's vote. And an Asian person's. They should be, you know, we hear this one person, one vote, especially when you hear a lot of the left talking about the popular vote. You know, in the way that we have the electoral map drawn with the Electoral College and everything, there is consideration drawn for a state voting to send their electoral college votes to finish the job, as opposed to one person, one vote. This is not one person, one vote. This is a multiplier, essentially, for people. And to suggest that by virtue of the color of one's skin, you automatically know that they are going to vote the same is, in my opinion, at its core, racist. Mm-hmm. Because you could see somebody and to make an immediate snap judgment that that's how somebody feels. And I think there are probably some white people. I mean, is it Republican to be white? Is it white to be Republican? Certainly not. So why would you say that for other races? And I think we've seen in more so in this last election than ever, the increase of people who are not of the white male demographic, people who have said, well, I'm kind of looking at what the other side's had to offer, or at least looking at Kamala Harris going, I don't think this is it for me. This is not for me. And certainly Joe Biden, good grief.
Yeah, racial party identification has shifted more in the last couple elections than in my lifetime, and maybe even beyond that. And so this is the perfect time to be asking this question. It's probably one of the reasons that the Supreme Court is asking and allowing this case to go up right now, because in past years, maybe they wouldn't. But you guys are making great points that looking at somebody and saying, well, I can see the color of your skin, therefore I know pretty much how you're going to vote, is racist. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. And the government definitely shouldn't be able to do that. Even if you are prone to do it, the government can't. You can't legally do that.
When we come back, we're going to join Hogan Gidley here on the show, America First Policy Institute Senior Advisor for Communications. Also very familiar with the Trump campaign, the Trump administration. He knows how it works. And he, I'm sure, has a very interesting take and perspective on the success and maybe obstacles that this administration has faced about 9 months in. Hogan Gidley on the Annie Fry Show next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With me now. Come with me now.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're glad you're here with us. Beautiful afternoon here in St. Louis, Missouri. And we have been talking about government shutdowns. We've been talking about the Supreme Court ruling or hearing, I should say, in Louisiana. And of course, we are watching Chicago and the state of Illinois, our neighbors here in St. Louis, push back with great force against the Trump administration, the want and the desire and the commitment to make Illinois safe again like the rest of this country. There's a lot to talk about, and we're grateful that Hogan Gidley is here with us to give us some of his time. America First Policy Institute Senior Advisor for Communications. Hogan, welcome back to the show. It's always good to have you here.
Great to be with you, Annie. Thanks for the time.
You know, I want to give you the opportunity from a high-level view there to react to what the Donald Trump administration, Part 2, has been able to accomplish in less than 9 months. It's really remarkable.
I mean, you know, it's so rare that a politician would do this, and it's definitely something that is unique only in Washington, D.C., where someone runs on an issue saying they're going to do it, wins on the issue saying they're going to do it, and then gets in office and actually does it. And he has done everything to this point, as he promised, to fix the economy, to bring down the out-of-control prices. Of course, to work on world peace, ending, eight wars at this point in time. He's going to probably get 9 when you consider Ukraine and Russia is going to fall next. Not to mention the fact that he closed the southern border. We have 0 people coming into the country illegally every month now, thanks to his efforts. And he wanted to reduce crime. He's going into these major cities. You just talked about it. And of course, crime is coming down as well. It is an absolute incredible string of wins for this president. And if you just go back to last week, he's overseas, signing peace accords with various nations. He comes back. He's got Javier Milei from Argentina in the office. He's got the Charlie Kirk Memorial. He sits down for hours in a cabinet meeting and lets people in the press as well. This guy just doesn't stop. And every time I see a reporter on Capitol Hill, every time I see a reporter in Washington, D.C., and they say, "We're exhausted," I just remind them, "Well, you had a nap for 4 years. You ought to be so well rested at this point." And they kind of laugh and shrug it off, like, "Well, he just does too much for us."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Yeah, I know. I know. That's who he is.
I think about specifically, I live across the river in Illinois, so I'm an Illinois resident. I've been watching Illinois politics up close for years, and it kind of feels like flyover progressive politics. Everybody is used to seeing Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom loves to see Gavin Newsom. So that's the kind of like public brand of opposition I think that this that a lot of people expected to see. But the Illinois variety seems to be specifically petulant, and I think it's because in Illinois, there hasn't been a lot of attention paid to how Democrat and far left progressive, the supermajority of Democrats in the House and the Senate, and J.B. Pritzker, who's got a ton of money to buy his third term that we're about to watch him try to win. What are your thoughts on the opposition that J.B. Pritzker and Brandon Johnson in Chicago have put up against Donald Trump? Do you think it's effective for the Democrats in any way?
You know, it's interesting you ask the question, because I do think in the echo chambers, you got to be careful, because we think it's not working. They think it is working. The question becomes, what happens in the middle? What are the regular people out there seeing? And I think they do resonate with some. They're going to try and make health care an issue, and that's going to be a big fight heading into the midterms. We should note Obamacare, you know, has not gone to solve health care like we told, like we were told it would. We were sold it would years ago, or 10, 15 years ago, that it would solve everything. It has care problems, skyrocketing premiums, all happen under a Democrat president with Democrats controlled the House and the Senate. And of course, even in the One Big Beautiful Bill, there was a provision in there that would have reduced premiums by what, 15-18%. Democrats, because they wanted it out of the bill. This is the type of stuff that we're going to have to message to the public so they understand if there is an opportunity for the Democrats to gain ground on something like health care, that the American people understand the facts. They were in control. They ruined it. Now, just like the border, millions of people flowing across, don't worry, Republicans fixed it. Crime out of control in city streets, don't worry, Republicans came in and fixed it. Economy was bad. Too much cost for eggs and for groceries, groceries and gas. Don't worry, Republicans fixed it. Same thing here. We'll probably have to stand with them, work with them to some degree to fix it. But the opportunities they have to actually win right now look so bad because they're historically low, because they're not going to where the American people are. They're trying to tell you things that aren't true that the American people experience every single day. That's why they lost the election. Your gas and groceries aren't high. Don't. It's just it's okay. It's good for you. Don't worry about it. Oh, no, the border's not open. No, what are you talking about, people in your city streets? Raping and murdering and killing with no right to be here. No, that's not really happening. So when you tell someone what they experience every day isn't happening, it's a real problem. Democrats are on the wrong side of all of these issues the American people care about. It's going to be to scratch and claw their way back unless they make a decision to say something like, hey, you know what? Crime is out of control, but we don't like the way Donald Trump's doing it. Here's how we'd fix it. They just tell you crime isn't a problem when everyone knows it is. So they've got some serious issues on their side. It's not a messaging problem. It's a policy problem. And the more we can point that out, the better.
We're speaking with Hogan Gidley with the America First Policy Institute. He's a senior advisor for communications there. A lot of attention nationally is being paid on that New York City mayor race. Zoran Mamdani is communist. It's kind of hard to argue with that. I don't know that he would argue with it particularly, unless he thinks it's a pejorative. But is this a national, is there a national ripple effect towards covering this election in New York City? And politically, if you have that election in this November, we're going right into the midterms. Does the fact that the Democrats in New York City have embraced this guy affect the party on a national level?
You learn lessons from every campaign, from every election. The question is, are you learning the right lessons and are you applying them properly afterwards? So do the Democrats have a problem with Marxism and communism? Absolutely. Now they're embracing someone who wants to take over the city of New York. And it's that old H.L. Mencken quote about democracy is the idea that the common man knows what he wants and deserves to get it good and hard. And so New York's about to get it good and hard. They're going to realize what a problem this is. But so many on the left still gravitate toward this. And, you know, it's the let's just fight for fight's sake. We don't have anything to really offer the American people or no successes or results that improve their lives. We're just going to keep screaming into a vacuum. And somewhere like New York will take that because after, at least for a while, because they want something different. This is the only one who's quote unquote fighting. But I'm telling you, it's going to be a big problem for the city of New York, and I think the world. It's sad because that's kind of one of our front doors to this country is New York, when some people come to visit and see it. But to watch it dilapidated as it is now, and it's only going to get much, much worse with someone like Zohra Mamdani, we'll see. Mm. But, you know, is it indicative of the whole party? I hate to say so, but yes, right now.
Yeah, it's hard to look anywhere else and look for a true leader, somebody that the Democratic Party itself looks to, that would be on the other end of that left spectrum. There really isn't anybody who seems to stand out. Donald Trump sucks up so much of the oxygen in the room. He seems to have a legit answer for whatever is thrown at him. I want to shift real quick before we let you go into the efforts by the FBI. We heard yesterday about their efforts with Operation Summer Heat, working to get crime off the streets. And going kind of back to the Chicago question that I asked you in at the beginning of this, do you think it's a priority for Donald Trump to go into those cities and to leave the country better than he found it? And is it like the apple of his eye to succeed in places like Chicago, those blue cities that have just gone by the wayside?
Well, I mean, look, this is a billionaire businessman who's traveled the world. He loves this country. He likes to see kind of our flagship cities doing well. That's why he's fought so hard for New York. He fixed, you know, famously fixed that ice skating rink decades ago because he didn't want it to fail. He wants people to be successful. He wants to clear government out of the way so they can do so. But I mean, feather in his cap, he's got so many feathers in his cap at this point. I just think what he's trying to accomplish here is to give everyone a city that they can be proud of and walk down the street in and not fear for their lives. D.C., you've seen people flip on that. You've seen a lot of different folks online coming out and saying, wait a minute, this place is way better than it was. I can't believe he actually did this. So who knew? When you put cops on the street, you put National Guard where they need to be, and you let them act as they're supposed to, that you actually solve some of the crime crisis. I've seen these people walking around Washington, D.C. No one's tortured by it. No one's scared of it. You see military people all over the place. Kids, for heaven's sakes, want to be cops for Halloween. It's coming up. They want to be Army people or Navy people, Marines for Halloween. No one's worried about that. It's silly. And so when you send them in to protect streets and protect people, honestly, there are some who are always going to bat their, you know, smash the desk and say it's wrong. But they're the ones who live in gated communities who don't have to worry about crime. Those who deal with crime every single day, crime that has impacted their lives or their livelihoods, their businesses, they want to stop to it, and they appreciate someone who cannot do anything but fix the problem.
Hogan Gidley, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for the time today. Always look forward to talking to you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. America First Policy Institute's Senior Advisor for Communications, Hogan Gidley, very familiar with how the Trump campaign and the Trump team, the Trump administration operates. Our YouTube live chat poll, do you believe minorities should have special consideration when drawing congressional districts? Yes or no? You can vote on the Andy Fry YouTube channel and tell us what you think. Leave a comment if you so choose as to why you voted the way you did. Joe says, nope, one person, one vote, no special circumstances. Ron says, districts should be made on population numbers, not the population color. And Paul said, gerrymandering is an equal opportunity gambit. I can't speak to the census controversies, but districting can be a real impediment to democracy, I think. Let us know what you think on the Andy Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. This is one of those songs that I'm like, what is this? It sounds familiar. And then it gets to, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember where I was when I heard this. Do you know this one?
It sounds so familiar. It sounds like generic song from 1992.
92, I wonder if...
I still don't know it as I listen to it.
Oh, you will. You said 1992?
Am I right?
1992!
I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah! This is, do you know John Cicada? Is that
another
how you
name.
Say his name?
I know the name.
Yeah, it'll hit here.
Is he like John Cena?
I think maybe the same person.
Brad lipped, not the same.
Not the same. Once it sinks into the chorus here, you'll go, oh man, I pined over this song.
Come on.
It takes forever to get there.
Hit it. All right.
He's really in his feels about it. He's got to walk you into it slowly. Still no?
Nope, still no.
Still no.
I still don't recognize it.
I don't want
No?
Really?
I don't really know this song.
Oh, wow.
Just Another Day Without You.
It's even more impressive that I named the year then, isn't it? Because I don't know the song.
This is the palate cleanse I need. Did you ever... Okay, Ryan Wing is supposed to be
I kind of enjoy it, though.
Oh, it's so good. You turn that music up, you get to be inside of it while you're in the car.
It's, man, it's
enveloping.
It's such an era, too. That drum beat, you're like, I know, that's what gave it away.
Did you ever have a moment in your life where you had to be in the music? You were love torn.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where the music got you through. Maybe even just a car ride from point A to point B. But, like, did you ever have to just soak yourself into music to get through a heartbreak or a heartache, pining for somebody?
Yes. Yeah, but nobody would know the music.
Boys do that? Was it the...
In fact, I'll pull it up.
Rorschach test song you played yesterday? What was it called?
Rammstein.
Oh, same thing.
Rorschach test. You kind of see whatever you want in German metal.
You know, I will say that song did help get me through some things.
I have a couple songs that I still, when I hear them, they take me to a moment.
A person?
They weren't necessarily, probably, I can't think of any of those right now, but there are some that take me to exactly, I know when I was listening to it and where I was. And sometimes they're kind of emotional.
You ever listen to one of those songs while you're drinking a beer in the shower?
Beer in the shower.
Scooter just said, and I don't understand, I've jumped into the chat here just to peek, and I don't know where they are in conversation. He said, doesn't it shake up the beer? And I thought he said, I just glanced and thought it said shower beer. And I'm like, ooh, that song's a good shower beer song.
That one?
Yeah, turn that back up.
What? There's songs in your head right now. What are you thinking of that take you back to that moment?
Casey and JoJo, All My Life. See, can't you imagine just like sitting in the shower, standing in the shower, beer in your hand, and you're just like...
Totally drunk, apparently. passed out.
Don't like beer. B, never, ever had a shower beer. I've never drank alcohol in the shower. I don't like shower stuff.
But you're crying.
I don't like alcohol enough.
You're crying in the shower, is that
yes,
what you're saying?
Yes, you're just like, oh, it's just getting worse than that. Why doesn't he/she love me? Could be a he/she these days.
You know what encapsulates my crying in the shower is Ace Ventura 1.
Oh.
Remember that scene?
That's
pretty much like me.
Which one was it?
I don't remember the song, but I think he was mimicking a movie. Was it The Crying Game that he was... doing an Ace Ventura 1. All I remember is
what was the
Jim
scene?
Carrey's naked butt like walking into the shower, but then he has to get out of the shower and he covers himself with two dogs, remember?
I watched that. My kids wanted to watch Ace Ventura so bad. We watched it. You watch these movies that were like iconically funny from our childhood and they just look at you like, Mom. And I'm like, stop judging me like that. It's still kind of funny.
You know what's weird? I had that reaction with the movie Animal House with my dad. That was, he thought this is going to be great.
And you're like, okay.
He showed it to me. And now I watch it. I'm like, oh, I get that it's funny. But when I was 15 or whatever, he showed it to me. I was like, not connected, man. Sorry.
I understand.
It just was generational.
The worst that I showed my kids was Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure.
They didn't like it?
That is a
I'm just telling you that Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure is, I'm not calling Paul Reubens this. But it just looks like some sort of like pedophilic, use that fever dream. It's like you can't even believe what you're seeing. And he's so childish. And then Biff or whoever the fat guy is, what's his name? Biff is from a different movie, but he's in that. He's in that like
about.
Blue button up onesie.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like a giant baby.
I know you are, but what am I? Yeah. I know you are, but what am I? Like the kids are what? Like there wasn't an ounce of it that they were genuinely comedically entertained by. They just couldn't believe that they were watching this.
It was a spectacle.
There's this part in Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure, like after he takes 5 minutes to make his toast with all the things in his kitchen.
Rube Goldberg.
At the end, my son's like, why doesn't he just make toast? And I'm like, this is freaking awesome.
Because it's a movie.
It's like Mousetrap in your kitchen. He's like, what's Mousetrap? I'm like, gosh, I've raised you wrong. But there's it at the end. He sits at his little nook in his kitchen, which looks like a diner. It's got like the red rubber, shiny rubber seat or whatever, and he's sitting at the table and he has his toast, but then he pours a bunch of cereal and stuff on it, Mr. T's, whatever cereal Mr. T's cereal is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the plate of food, and it's piled. He's like, R-r-r-r-r-r-r. Like, he's playing with his food. And my brother, like, six-year-old little brother, used to do that whole scene. And I forgot all about it. And when I saw him, I was dying laughing. And my kids are like, he just looks like he needs help. Somebody get this man some help. They're Mom, why wrong. Are you laughing at him? He looks like he needs help and you're laughing at him? Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure is super weird. I didn't even want him to find his bike at the end.
The movie preceded the show, right? Or was the show first?
No, the movie came out of the show, I'm pretty sure.
I thought the movie came first. I could check that. But the stage show was before everything. And apparently the stage show was exactly what you're feeling. It was very, like,
unsettling.
Hey, this is a kid's show, but there's a lot of adult humor in it. It was intended to be unsettling.
I'm a loner, Dottie. A rebel.
And then it became
it
became an actual kid's show. That's the irony of it.
Large Marge. My kids saw that. They're like, Mom, turn it off. Oh, man. And then I posted this on Twitter the other day because I was thinking about it. I think it was because it was Halloween season. But I don't think I could think of a scarier movie I saw as a child than Return to Oz.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Those Wheelers?
Yes.
Not Kevin Wheelers.
Well, you know.
But maybe.
We don't know if there's a familial relation. But though, beware the wheelers, whatever it is. But then, and then there was the queen or whatever. She changed
all
her heads. And there was that rock creature guy who smoked a pipe. And like, there's nothing about that movie that is redeeming and not scary.
Mm-hmm.
Why did that movie get made?
There were a lot of movies like that in the 80s. There was,
what was happening in the 80s that
Pan's
I didn't understand?
Labyrinth. A couple others that were like that with Muppets. You're weird.
Crystal. All right, let's take a quick break. The president's supposed to make an announcement from the Oval Office. We'll monitor it. You're in the right place here at 97.1 FM Talk. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.